Previously on Compassion Radio.
And he said, Slovenes love sports. You love sports. Just come over and make that your ministry. So I did. I moved over. I met a girl who knew a coach. I met the coach. I played basketball in Slovenia for 2 years as a ministry.
Basketball as a ministry.
Yeah, basketball as a ministry.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Taking the liberating power of God's good news and His compassionate heart to the four corners of the globe. This is the radio journal that tells of the new ways it's happening. We're glad you've joined us today. Here's a serious question for you to ponder right from the outset. Have you ever found yourself feeling burnt out while working in ministry? Like you simply had nothing left to give? That's pretty much what happened with our guest on today's Compassion Radio. And during the following broadcast, we're going to hear how God takes us from a place of emptiness so we can learn how to be filled, so that indeed we can get going on the work that He wants us to do. Bram and Sandy Floria return as our hosts again today. And here's Bram to reintroduce our guests.
We're back today with Johnny and Brooke Stevens of Josiah Venture, and they're a lovely couple. We're enjoying the fellowship with them, and gorgeous kids. I mean, what a great time we had at lunch today. But the story we're talking about is how God takes us from a place of emptiness so we can learn how to be filled, and filled His way with His Word, His Spirit, so we can do the work He wanted us to do all along. And that's a wonderful story. We're going to hear more about that today. So let's pick it up where we left off. Your superiors or your team members saw you, Johnny, and realized that burnout was, if not already in full-blown effect, it was imminent. And you admitted you felt like a zombie. You couldn't even go into worship and feel like you had to express yourself. You had nothing to give. And you weren't, as you put it, you weren't going to lie anymore. So God knew. And you were saying to God, now I know. And they said, here's the path forward. And so they did that. They came around you and in firmness, but with gentleness and with kindness said, this is how we're going to bring you forward. So tell me what that process was like and what word came to you, what truth you clung on to during that process and how it brought the two of you back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one. I knew that a significant part of it, of the coming out the other side, would be just coming before the Lord in prayer. And so I spent some time with some of the guys that I work closely with, and we spent some time in prayer. And through that time, there was one point where Josh had asked me, like, just, do you feel like the Lord's laying anything on your heart? And just the three words, mission, action, and calm, came to mind. Where it was just like, I knew that I was being very passive. I was being very fearful, but just kind of recognizing that God has created me for specific purposes, for things that actually matter, to be a part of His mission. Even the term missionary feels uncomfortable to me at times, but to be able to stand firm and say, God has a specific mission and purpose for me and for our family, and that's something that I can be proud of, and step forward with action and boldness, but then also calm. I can be peaceful. I can rest knowing that He's the one that's doing the work. Mm-hmm. And there was a time a little bit later on in the week, I was praying with another friend, and she had, partway through the time, she said, the Lord's bringing to mind this one line from a song, and it was just, rescue the souls of men. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And so we were praying, we were spending a little bit more time, and we were back in this back room of our conference center. It was it's the sound booth where they kind of do some of the, they have a soundboard for our conferences. And we kept having all of these distractions. People would come in because they didn't know that we were back there praying and talking. And they would say, sorry for the, you know, like, we're fine. You know, it's, you know, all of these interruptions, you know, kept happening. And at one point, I kind of just, because I felt like the volume was turned off. Like I wasn't hearing from the Lord. And this friend, she said, you know, I think we're back here. Because we were like, should we go move somewhere else where we can find somewhere quiet? And she said, no, I feel like we need to be here because the Lord's going to turn up the volume. Like, mm-hmm. He wants to speak. And so we continued to talk and pray, and there was a point where it was, I knew that what was next was just kind of really I was struggling with just some of the realities of life and death. And without getting into too many of the details, just recognizing that we're playing, there's high stakes in life. Mm-hmm. And death is one of those realities that I don't know that I go through every day recognizing the fullness of it. And I was at the point of just of really having to struggle with the Lord of saying, like, do I really believe that you're good? Do I really believe that even in the darkest times that you have redemption, that you have, you're faithful, and that you're taking brokenness and you're bringing light and hope? And I was at this point where I was just waiting, like, okay, like I needed him to speak. And at that point, another distraction took place, and there's an inkjet printer sitting at about head level in this back room in the sound booth, and it just starts going back and forth, and it stopped, and then it goes again, and it prints. So we're back there praying, and it just this major distraction, this inkjet printer going back and forth.
And you're about ready to go post at this point.
You know, and I kind of just jokingly was like, okay, you know, here we got a message from the Lord. And my friend Josh, he reaches up and he grabs a stack of papers, and he said, I think we do have a message from the Lord. It was the text from the song, Wonderful Merciful Savior. Mm-hmm.
Rescues the souls of men.
Mm-hmm. And I read through that text. You know, it talks about who God is. Father, Son, and Spirit. And it was just incredible to hear the Father's heart for me, his purpose for our family. You know, it was the worship team. What had happened was the worship team had made a last minute change, and so they added that song to their set list, and they printed it wirelessly. And so they came in. It was another one of the, you know, they came in like, we're so sorry that we interrupted your time. We're like, you have no idea. You have no idea. And I still have that printout in my office. Mm-hmm. Because I was at a point where I needed to hear, it needed to be printed out on a piece of paper for me to
in black
really,
and white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And
okay, Brooke, I'm gonna let you have the Selah here. What were you going through when this was happening?
Yeah, it was, you know, for years, I remember talking with friends saying, I don't know what to do. We were in a routine of life, and I wouldn't say that anything was terrible or anything like that. It was just like a comfortable routine, and something was missing. And so I would always say, hey, you should meet with so-and-so, or you should do this, you should do this. So like he had said earlier, he was doing those things for the wrong reasons for me or whatever. So this was a couple months before that, we had a Josiah Venture ladies retreat. And during that time, it was just a retreat to seek and pray. So there wasn't a lot of teaching. It was just, let's see what the Lord has for us. And this was the really big thing on my heart was, I don't know what to do here. Like I just spent some time praying and felt like the Lord was saying, he really comforted me and just said, Johnny is mine. Mm-hmm. And I've got him. And I know you don't feel safe. And I know you don't feel covered. But I'm covering you and I'm covering Johnny. But you need to keep your mouth shut.
Aye.
Yeah. So I couldn't be the one to continue to speak to Johnny. And so for those months and in that moment in faith, I said, as long as it takes, I am going to surrender Johnny to the Lord, knowing that my covering is under him and that he's going to do something. He is. But I had no idea how long it took, and praise the Lord, it only took a couple months.
Yeah. And you're discovering that God is a wonderful and merciful Savior.
Oh, yeah.
For you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on our drive home from that conference, after he had had this, the Lord turn up the volume, I remember him looking at me in the rearview mirror. I was sitting in the back, and it was like his love, Johnny's love for me was like, one of the first times just piercing my heart. And I would never have thought that it wasn't before, but it was a love of, it was coming from freedom, just complete freedom. And I mean, that was 5 years ago to this week. And it was, so it's we look back on that and our ministry just from that. We came back to Slovenia, and a couple nights later, a guy that had been in our ministry for 7 years trusted Christ with Johnny.
Amen.
I mean, it was just like the Lord needed to break some things in us so that it was Him getting the glory, not any of our own efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. It was so hard, but oh, I wouldn't change it for anything. Yeah.
You are listening to Compassion Radio, and we're so grateful that you're listening today. You know, friend, one easy way you can make an impact on the world this month is by supporting our Bibles for Slovenia project. And know the thrill of placing a Bible into the hands of a Slovene new believer. For your gift this month of $24 or more, we'd be delighted to send you a very special premium in the form of a dual language Bible. And prayerfully consider joining our vision team with your consistent monthly gift to help keep Compassion Radio on the air on this radio station you're now listening to. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online anytime, day or night, at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get you back now to today's program.
So you are learning what severe mercies are like. And I sense that from what I've learned of the country of Slovenia and other countries around the Balkans there, that there's a spirit of depression mm-hmm. on the cultures. And in some ways, you enter into that spiritual battle with them. And I sense there that there's a kind of oppression and depression mm-hmm. that crowds the mind and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps part of God's healing for the nation is allowing you all to enter into the reality of that for that nation.
Yeah, in fact, when we headed back after that conference 5 years ago, it was almost overwhelming looking at, we were heading into our camp season when we do a lot of promotion in schools, and I remember waking up in the morning, looking out over our city and just having this almost overwhelming sense of urgency for the souls of the people in our town, those young people in the schools that we go into in promotion. And it was that burden for seeing a country. Slovenia is a beautiful mm-hmm. place. The people are incredible, just incredible gifts of hospitality. And yet there is a weight of depression and darkness, and it doesn't seem consistent with the country itself. If you look out, you wouldn't realize that looking at the photos of the country. But we've been there for 13 years now. I mean, and even in our short little window, it feels like we've gotten to see just real bright glimpses of light into the darkness. That's one of the things that we love about working in a place like that, is when they're isn't as much happening within the church. When something happens, it's big, and it makes an impact. And so we feel like we get to see just these major headlines. When someone trusts Christ, it's, you know, we're rejoicing. Mm-hmm. And
front page news.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
So you, at this point, were being more molded now into a whole new perspective on what's possible for ministry, because mm-hmm. God was softening your heart and opening your eyes. You're seeing your wife in a different light. You're seeing each other and your potential as a family in a different light. You're seeing the country in a different light. So Josiah Venture comes back to you and says, you've been working really hard in these areas. You've done, you know, good work, and God's done great things. Well, by the way, we're going to do something very different with you now. What was that big change for you, and what's come of that?
Yeah, I heard about this ministry that Josiah Venture is doing called Fusion, which uses music and performing arts to build relationships with teenagers, mostly through these rock choirs. And so I came to a choir rehearsal here in the Czech Republic, and I heard loud music, electric guitar, drums, you know, bass, all that kind of stuff. It was a little bit obnoxious, I'll be honest, the music at first. But I got to sit down and hear from the young people that are part of the ministry, and we just said, why are you guys a part of Fusion? I expected them to say, I came to Fusion, you know, because I wanted to learn to play the guitar or drums or something like that. But their answers, they said, I come to Fusion because this is where I found out who I am. I come to Fusion because I found out that I'm loved. I come to Fusion because this is my family. And they rattled off their knee-jerk response to why do they come to Fusion was just these heart level, if I were to design a ministry or whatever, it was exactly what you would want to see.
Non-rehearsed answers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Their lives have been changed through this ministry. And at that point, I just said, okay, if I need to learn how to conduct or, you know, whatever it takes to get this going in Slovenia, I'm willing. And so that was 5 years ago as well that we started that ministry.
And again, the switch is from the person you mentioned in the first program about being dry as dust and not being able to worship. You're now free from the oppression or the self-condemnation that went with this, and God says you're free.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm going to put you in a role of worship leader and conductor of the souls of men into community, into a new way of seeing and being and loving. So, boom, you're in the very sweet spot that you had always hoped you'd be in. Tell us about the program now. What's happening with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. That's for sure. I think when we started Fusion in Slovenia, none of us really knew what we were getting into. Again, I moved over for sports, and so being in a choir was a little bit challenging for me, but super fun. And just right away, people were coming, and they were sticking around, and they would show up, and there were no... It was like some of the barriers that were there before were just gone. And so we're able to ask questions. We're able to... It wasn't just, let's speak in English, but it's like because they experienced this love that at that time they didn't know was Jesus, we were able to have those conversations and say, like, what do you think about this? Or because in Fusion, in the rehearsal, we do just a short, you know, 5 to 7 minute talk about the gospel. And so we were able to follow up with that. And we had, I think we had a couple fun things happen, but after our first Fusion camp, there was this gal that sat in our discussion group in the evening and just looked mad. And anytime you'd ask her a question, she would say, why are you asking me? Well, she was 13, I think, at the time. And she'd really connected with our coworker, Gwen. And after camp, she sends Gwen a message and says, hey, remember at camp when we were talking about God? Well, I just watched The Passion of the Christ and read the Bible online. Can we get together to talk about it?
Oh my goodness.
I was like, whoa, like, okay. And so they met, talked about it, and she trusted Christ. And she's been one of our key leaders ever since.
Yeah.
And so that's just one. Like, we have more and more people that through Fusion have trusted Christ. And another gal in particular, she's actually moving to a new city to be the leader in a different church that's starting Fusion right now.
Is this a national?
Yeah, a Slovenia. Awesome. So we've had the privilege of doing life with her for quite some time now.
So God moved you out of a very comfortable place, but yet uncomfortable, into something that was uncomfortable to do with the music, not knowing anything about what you were doing, but has, because of your willingness to do whatever it took to reach these people for Christ, he's just blossoming leadership all around you, and you're able to walk through training and discipleship and relationship with these people. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it has for sure been a highlight just to see. And I think that the thing that's so great is that they're not catching a vision for the ministry, like the music and the Fusion and the ministry. They're catching the vision for the souls, the hearts, the people, and saying, my life was transformed by this, and I want that for my fellow countrymen or whatever, the other Slovenes. It's not just let's go do more choirs. It's this, they see it as saving lives.
We're getting to see a new generation of disciple makers, because a big part of our heartbeat within Josiah Venture is not just that point of conversion. We do a lot of evangelism because there just aren't people who have trusted Christ. But we want to see them grow to maturity. And so the whole process of both exposing them to the gospel, seeing them repent and believe, turn to Christ and follow him, but then continue to grow to maturity and share
that. Be disciples
who make disciples. Yeah.
So and you're doing that all within the local church, in each community.
Yeah. Yeah, so even in our church, from Fusion, we have somebody that started in Fusion, wasn't really her thing, but it's what brought her in. And now she trusted Christ, and she teaches Sunday school in our church, and she leads a whole different ministry. And she's like 20 years old. And then we have three students from our Fusion ministry who are also now on our worship team at church. Mm-hmm. And so they're all plugged into the local church. And the cool thing about Fusion too is that it is igniting the fire for Slovene worship. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our worship songs are translated and things like that. And so there's a burning desire for Slovene worship to come from this.
To write your own
to
music.
To write their own music, yeah.
Good. That is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
There are many more stories I would love to jump in with you and explore, but we can't do it on this program. I hope to be open to us contacting you in the future to find out how God continues to blossom this thing.
For sure.
And I want to bring you around full circle and say, friends, that the story you're hearing about this blossoming of ministry and of youth coming alive in Christ is a direct result of a willing heart to say, I have nothing left to give but my empty self, and good friends that are willing to take us to Jesus and see him heal us. And healed people heal people.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not just putting Band-Aids on wounds. You are in the resurrection business. Mm-hmm. And because of you, I don't know how many centuries have gone by or millennia, but since the last presence of a real abiding, worshiping body in Slovenia, it may never have happened in the past, but it is now. We were talking with Andre just a couple of days ago about how he's even sending out missionaries from Slovenia now. Mm-hmm. That's a first. You're becoming a sending nation because of your faithful life and God working through you. I'm very, very proud to know you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Johnny Brooke Stevens from Josiah Venture, lately of Slovenia and probably for a very long time to come, with beautiful family grown. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on
Thank
Compassion
you.
Radio.
This has been great. Thank you.
Friends, when you want to win somebody for Christ, it always comes down to relationship. More often than not, people respond to the gospel they see in our lives far more than in the words we might say. It's why the church is growing so fast in places like China, Vietnam, and India. A faithful believer demonstrates the gospel and friends notice. And with a Bible in hand, these believers share the story of God's love for all mankind. Those Bibles get passed on, and the cycle continues. The simple formula for evangelism is being practiced with great effectiveness in another part of the world, and it's an amazing story. This month, we're going to introduce you to new friends whose families, the Ellenwoods and the Drabina families, collectively, they're the backbones for an intrepid ministry called Josiah Venture. If you've never heard of this ministry before, you're going to become more and more excited when you hear about the evangelism efforts they've been spearheading all throughout Europe through TV, high school curriculums, music mission teams, and so much more. Hence, it's our Bibles for Slovenia project here in September. This year, Josiah Venture will release a brand new dual language Bible in the Slovene language. It's the first new edition of God's Word available in decades for this language group. A new student revival is beginning to break loose right now, and Bibles are desperately needed. They are planning a first printing of 2,000 dual language Bibles, and they can do it for only $4 a copy. So I ask you, will you help us help Josiah Venture bring the Word of God to a new generation of believers in Slovenia? With your gift today, we can do it. Let's see how many of these new Bibles we can put in the hands of new believers this fall. Perhaps you can send a Bible. Perhaps you can send 100. Perhaps you'd like to fund the entire first printing. For your above and beyond giving this month to our Bibles for Slovenia project, and when you request it, we have a truly unique dual language Bible. We have a limited supply of these editions that you can hold in your own hands. Use it as a prayer journal. As you read your favorite passages, pray for a young person who is reading the same scripture in their own language in the column across the fold. We have one of these beautifully printed Bibles on our studio desk, and it reminds us here at Compassion Radio to pray for our Josiah Venture friends and the thousands of young Josiahs they are discipling throughout Europe. This is a marvelous and very personal special premium.
Ask for yours today with your gift to this project of $24 or more. And please remember that we don't do what we do without you. We simply cannot go and do and bring the story to you without your prayers and faithful financial support. Thank you so much for standing with us in this new season of Compassion Radio. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online 24/7 at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we look forward to being with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.